We were in a security oval. Which one was it?
This morning, this afternoon, I'm sorry, we have about four bills for Jan Lee. And so Jan's going to come forward. We'll get those things rolling. Start off with open the public hearing, possible question on House Bill 2649. I'm out of order, you guys, so you just have to.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm Jan Lee, Executive Director with Oregon Water Resources Congress, representing the Irrigation District, whose bill you see before you today. House Bill 2649, we bring to you, this is a process that you've heard about in other bills this session and last, the 3111 mapping petitions for districts. Remapped over 600,000 acres of water rights in Oregon, brought them up to date. At the same time that process was in place, we amended some of the federal statutes as dealing with the Secretary of Interior's signature authority, but this particular statute was not remedied at the same time, ORS 541-331-4B. So what we're asking at this point is to bring that one into conformance with the others. I'm sorry, I forgot to give you the testimony. And as we worked on this bill on the other side, we came across another small change that needed to be made. So we have added a House Bill 2649-1 amendment that just restores one line of the original bill. We deleted too much. On line 27, we need to retain land for which inclusion in the district has been requested previously as prescribed by law. And this is a need that is required because what we need to do is to have the Water Resources Department be able to write the final orders for all of these mapping petitions. Tom Byler is here from the Water Resources Department, and he was going to join me on this bill, but the department is in support of this action, and it will allow them to complete the petition process.
Ms. Water?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Tom Byler with the Water Resources Department. Appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2649 and the amendment, the Dash 1 amendment, I believe. Jan gave you a little bit of background. I thought I might add just a little more to this. This bill will allow us to complete a long process on these 3111 mapping petitions that began in the late 80s. And one of the holdups for some of these districts that this bill would help is that there's a kind of a parallel issue relating to federal boundaries recognized by federal government and those boundary changes that would be necessary under this remapping of the place of use of water within these districts. The way that the statute currently reads, we would not be able to issue our final order for these final certificates for remapping until the Secretary of Interior gives its assent on this parallel issue. And we think that it's not a necessary requirement. And in fact, it could take many, many years. Who knows how long it'll take before the Secretary gives their assent on this issue. Moreover, they are notified of all these proposed boundary changes, and it's a work in progress. But from our perspective, there's no reason for us to wait on issuing our final order while we're waiting for the federal government to complete its work.
What involvement does the Secretary of Interior have to do with water issues in our state?
Mr. Chair, this is the Bureau of Reclamation, and these districts have contracts to use water from the reservoirs controlled by the Bureau. And as a, there are conditions within those contracts for certain things, and one thing involves the place of use of that water, and part of those contracts involves the establishing the federally recognized boundaries for those districts.
Questions of these folks? I guess not. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Then the corporate news of Ash One. We'll have a hearing on House Bill 2649, and we are in the session on 2649.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Corcoran.
Move Dash 1 Amendment 2649.
Senator Corcoran moves the Dash 1 Amendment to House Bill 2649. Any objections? Any discussion? Hearing none, for order.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Corcoran.
Move Bill Amendment for the passage.
Senator Corcoran moves House Bill 2649 as amended with four due pass recommendations. Objections? Discussion? Hearing none, clerk call the roll, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Chair, aye. House Bill 2649, passed the floor, defaulted recommendation. Chair, aye. Senator Corcoran, appreciate it very much. Plenty of care, Bill. Close the work session on 2649, open on 2650. The plea.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, House Bill 2650 deals with subdivisions within irrigation districts. This is a voluntary bill where groups of users within the district are working as a unit, as a subdivision. They can go to the district and ask to have specific improvements for their part of the system accommodated, and they would be charged for those services as a result. There are no amendments to this bill. There was no opposition on the other side, and there were no negative votes on the House floor.
2650.
Actually, there was. Roman voted against it. Oh, that's the one. That's right. I'm sorry. I was trying to find that one, and I never did find it.
And you guess why Representative Bowman voted against it?
No.
Okay.
I asked the question and didn't have an answer.
Questions of Jim. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2650. Generally, any concerns that you want to ask anybody on any sense?
Okay.
We are closing the public hearing work session on House Bill 2650.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Corcoran. Senator Corcoran moves House Bill 2650 for floor defense recommendation, discussion, objection, to none, for call the roll, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Chair and I, House Bill 2650 has passed the floor to pass recommendation. Senator Wilde?
Sure.
Senator Wilde, carry. Close the first session on 2650 and open on House Bill 2651.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Jan Lee, Oregon Water Resources Congress. House Bill 2651 is for water improvement districts. And what they are asking to do by amending ORS 554020 is to carry water in their system for other water rights that are not water rights of the water improvement district. This came up in the Umatilla area because some of the users up there want to use storage and aquifer storage, which are not permitted needs of the district, but they are permitted by the water rights of the other members in the district who want that service to carry the water. So this basically provides the opportunity for the water to be carried by the district for users' other purposes when it does not interfere with the district's main purposes and does not impact other users. And there are no amendments. And this one, there was absolutely no opposition to.
Okay. Jim, thank you. Questions of Jim Lee?
Why wasn't there any opposition?
I don't know.
Okay.
A little bit of interest.
Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No one else is trying to testify on House Bill 2651, so we are old public hearing going to this session, going on 2651.
Sure.
Jim Corcoran.
I have to comment that these bills are also boring today. There's nothing contentious yet.
I'm
wish you could juice this thing up a little bit. I'll move 2651 to the floor with the due pass.
Senator Corcoran, move House Bill 2651 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Objections?
I've been on the committee with Lexus.
Hearing none, the first call will be
It's kind of more fun for me, like judiciary or something. Aye.
Aye.
Chair, I, House Bill 2651, passed the floor to pass recommendations from the George O'Carry. Anytime I do anything.
I think Senator George and Senator Shannon requested me personally that they carry the rest of the bills on Friday.
Your trouble. Close the work session on 2651 and open a public hearing on 2652.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this is to satisfy Senator Corcoran's interest in a bill that had not as much support, but ultimately has support. This is a bill that was heard on the House side that did have some opposition at the time, but the final vote on the floor was 46-0. In the committee, it was 7-2, but subsequently one of those persons change their vote as well. What this bill does is changes the state law for DEQ in Section 486 so that if there is a federal exemption under the Clean Water Act, it allows that same specific exemption in the state law. And in this particular instance, the bill speaks to NPDES permits, which are for point sources. Currently under federal and Oregon law, there is no permit requirement for an NPDES permit for irrigation districts using herbicides in their canals. There was a legal suit that was brought in the federal court by Headwaters against the Talent Irrigation District asking that such a permit be required. However, the federal judge denied that a permit would be required, and that case has now moved on to the Ninth Circuit Court. The exemption from federal law has been in place for quite some time, almost from the beginning of the Clean Water Act itself. And this deals with one of the issues that is seen by some as the conflict between point and non-point sources. If we have this exemption placed in state law, I think it will be clear that it's applicable. There were some concerns that if federal law were to be changed, how would we be able to obtain a permit in Oregon? There were concerns by the city, for example, that we would not remain unregulated, which might be detrimental to their benefit if we weren't regulated if the law was changed. So we brought to you the A4 amendment, which was just issued today, which fixes that problem by saying if we are required to do so under federal law, then it would allow the Environmental Quality Commission to require that permit. If the outcome of the federal case in the Ninth Circuit Court were to be such that a permit is required, we, of course, would be required to provide that permit immediately. Some of the issues that came up on the other side related to a spill that occurred in the Talent Irrigation District, and so we provided some documents showing their management plan to make sure that we did not have another spill of that nature, and I believe that the agencies involved see that management plan as a much more effective tool, and in fact we are working with the Bureau of Reclamation and EPA to develop a workbook for management to do training seminars around the state.
Let me mention something else, the amendments that she has. What is,
Mr. Chair, these amendments, we need the original clean copy. This can't be turned in like this if the committee takes action on this bill.
There's somewhere you can check on that. Do you have a copy of the
I have a photocopy, and I'll find it in my file and get it to you so you'll have it.
Okay, we
want you to go down and check with Jennifer, and we'll do it in the report.
Or just have them burn copies of this, however they see which of us guys.
I'm sorry, Jen, go ahead. Your copy. Jen, go ahead, thanks.
Okay. This does not alter in any way the state from being able to bring enforcement action for any provision of the Clean Water Act or to use their own authority to the greatest extent. We do not feel that it impacts any of the Oregon plan commitments either, and in fact, in the testimony, there is a letter from the governor in late 1997 indicating that the agency has not regulated this use and has no intent to do so in the near future. We also worked with DEQ to develop these particular amendments that are in the bill setting out those federal authorities. And at this time, DEQ, ODSW, and the other agencies that were involved, I believe Oregon Department of Agriculture, are not opposed to this bill.
Questions of Ms. Lee?
Well, Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
I just want to make a comment. I'll give you a courtesy vote to get this out of committee, but I have some real concerns about the Well, you know, we keep doing this stuff that is really runs philosophically, if nothing else, against the, you know, our attempts in the Oregon plan to keep the federal government off our back on these listings and trying to do the right thing for the family. And yet, we're simultaneously, you know, in my view, and I'm not an expert in this, you know that, but in my view, we're passing legislation that sends a signal to the feds that we're loosening up our own regulations. And that's just, from a principled position, that just bothers me. And I may vote for this bill on the floor, I may not, but I mean, I'll vote for it out of committee, but it just it gives me a lot of misgiving about our next iteration of the family plan and then sending these kind of smoke signals in.
Let's have a few of that come up and talk to us too. Are you okay? Corey, give us your perspective on House Bill 2652, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Lori Onan, Department of Environmental Quality. Just for the record, we are not supporting Senate Bill or House Bill 2652, but we did work with Oregon Water Resources Congress on the language that you see in the ANGRES bill, and at this point we're okay with it. So, just also with Senator Corson's question, we haven't in the past done any permitting on this type of activity, and so that's just a point of information.
Well, do you see in the future that we would be getting National Pollution Discharge permits involved in this kind of activity? Do you see that as an issue for the future we have to deal with?
Mr. Chair, I think that one thing you can say about the federal program is they're always evolving and looking at things in new ways, and so I don't think we can predict what they might be doing, but certainly non-point source is a continuing issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Willie Tiffany with the League of Oregon Cities, and as Sharon stated, we were originally opposed to this bill, not on the substance of the bill, but conversely on its possible impact on Oregon's delegated authority as holders of NPDES permits were sensitive to that issue. And I want to compliment Jan and her organization on their willingness to work with us, and the statute for amendments do take care of that issue for us. So we would have no position on the bill.
Okay, and Laura, you see the dashboards also?
Yes, Mr.
And you're okay with the dashboards? Okay. Questions, please?
So in the letter that Jan alluded to, October 27, 1997, from Governor Kitzhaber, third paragraph says, historically, NPDES permits have not been required for the application of herbicides. Whether permit requirements should be extended to these activities is a subject of reasonable debate and threatened litigation. And can you answer two questions? One is the status of any litigation, and two, preventing discussions within your agency or within other state agencies about looking at this as a practice in terms of the fish problem.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corson, a question of whether DEQ has looked at it. When I was talking with the folks who worked with Oregon Water Resources Congress on this, one of the things they were looking at is DEQ internally discussed it and did not feel at this time that there was any need to do NPDES permits. So internally, that was something that we looked at. I'm not clear on the status of the litigation, I would have to find out and get back to you.
That's just more comfortable
with the
litigation.
I might move on, Senator Clifton. I might. What we're saying in our amendments is if it becomes viable to do those permits through federal authority, we are willing to do those permits, or the court case could drive us to do those permits. So if there is a force out there that decides the permits are required, we will be providing those permits.
Okay. Questions any further? Folks, thank you very much. We have Mr. Chairman testifying on House Bill 2652, so we're going to close the public hearing and open the witness now. House Bill 2652. Okay.
Okay, these are the
clean
copies.
Mr. Chairman,
I'll move to the meeting of the same as for amendment.
Yes. Chair Corker moves the dash for amendments to House Bill 2652. Discussion? Objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corker.
2652 as amended to the floor of due pass.
Senator Corker moves 2652 as amended to the floor of due pass recommendations. Any discussions? Objections? Hearing none, so call roll, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Chair, I have for 2652, pass the floor of due pass recommendation, the chair will carry. Close the work session on 2652, and Representative Morgan, we had a call from Mr. Dave Honeycutt that he is stuck in the freeway with a major traffic accident.
A transportation plan, maybe it wouldn't be, Mr. Chair.
any more outbursts like that will clear the courtroom. We don't need to give him an audience. Anyhow, I just... Susan, can you handle this, or you want us to wait until... John, you want to just go ahead?
Well, despite that, Representative Morgan.
Open the public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2484. Mr. Chandler and Representative Morgan, please.
Mr. Chair, there's a rumor circulating that Representative Morgan is a moderate Republican. I want to dispel that. She is not a moderate at all. She resents being called a moderate.
Now, we've been all through this.
Representative Morgan,
good.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Susan Morgan. I represent House District 46, which is the southern part of Douglas County, northern part of Josephine and Jackson County. And I would like to thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to testify on behalf of House Bill 2484. And 2484 relates to land use appeals. And what it does is simply insert a step into the process before a local land use planning action is appealed to LUBA by either DLCD or ODOT. Before DLCD or ODOT appeals a local land use decision, the agency will be required to get formal approval from its commission. And here's how the process will work. DLCD will notify the applicant and the local government that the director is seeking approval for appeal. At the next available meeting of the Land Conservation and Development Commission, only the applicant, a representative of local government, and a representative of DLCD will appear. Each party will be given time to address the commission on issues related to the appeal, and discussions during the House work session indicated that about 10 minutes for each party should be a reasonable time. Then, based on the testimony, the commission will either approve or reject the department's request to proceed with the appeal. The decision of the commission is not in itself subject to appeal. If the next scheduled commission meeting is after LUBA's deadline for appeals, the director may proceed with filing the appeal that the affected local government, the applicant, and the representative of the agency must appear before the next scheduled meeting of DLCD. And at that meeting, if the commission rules against the appeal must be withdrawn from the LUBA process. If the commission rules in favor, then the appeal proceeds. There's a parallel process that would take place relating to appeals of local land use decisions by ODOT.
The Oregon Transportation Committee, or Commission rather, will be the body that decides if the appeal should proceed after hearing the issues discussed by the applicant, a representative of local government, and a representative of ODOT. And again, the decision of the Transportation Commission is not subject to appeal. The process is a mirror of the process outlined for DLCD. The, where are we here? Under the, as it stated in the House Committee report for House Bill 2484, the Land Conservation and Development Commission and the Oregon Transportation Commission, whose members are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate, are given the express obligation to review and authorize any appeals of local government actions filed by DLCD or ODOT. The oversight provided in the committee report will enable the commissions to be more actively involved in the policy decisions which surround the questions of whether or not the state of Oregon should take one of Oregon's cities, counties, or districts through the costly and time-consuming appeals process. The purpose of the Land Conservation and Development Commission and of the Oregon Transportation Commission is to set policy for their respective agencies, and this bill will allow that process to take place. The process that will be allowed to take place if this bill is passed will form a communication bridge between the policy end and the implementation end of the land lease system. This is a consumer protection bill that will build in a dialogue about whether agencies should go in the directions that the appeals will take them. I urge you to support this bill and send it to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
President Morgan, we'd like a copy of the report you just read from the good for information Commission have on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. speak and I'll ask questions for both.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Chandler, Director of Governmental Affairs for the Oregon Building Industry Association. Our name doesn't appear on this bill, but we sort of hitchhiked a ride with Oregonians in Action. We had a bill on a related topic, Senate Bill 96, which this committee heard earlier this year. Senate Bill 96 sought to eliminate ODOT from the ability to have land use appeals. Upon discussion with folks, including Mr. Honeycutt from OIA, I was convinced that approach not only was somewhat extreme, but also probably get vetoed. This bill, I know, I was shocked to call myself. This bill is, I believe, a very good compromise, and I will agree that taking them out of the loop probably isn't appropriate. I do believe that having a different, having the oversight of the commission on what the staff does is a very good role. We worked on the amendments to the bill over in the House side with Representative Morgan and with DLCD, Mr. Benner and Mr. Rindy from the department. ODOT has expressed, and they're both kind of specified, so I won't put words in their mouth, they were participatory in this process as well. What we're trying to do is not make things more complicated. We're not trying to add time or an appealable process or anything else. We simply think it's important on issues that are as contentious as land use issues are in this state to have the commissions, which have the political oversight. They're appointed by the governor. They're confirmed by the Senate. They're policymakers for the agency. To have those folks in a more direct role of overseeing what actions are being taken by their staff with regards to land use appeals. There aren't a whole lot of appeal files. You're probably going to testify to that effect. I mean, I think it's probably either 30 by name or 30 a year. We're not talking about a great deal of hearing at the commission. But those appeals are not simply litigation, such as when the homeowner sues somebody or when 1,000 friends sue somebody. They have a very large political overtone because it's an agency of the state of Oregon taking on the action of one of its political subsidiaries. That takes it out, regardless of the number. If there is one file, I think this process is still a good one because it makes sure that what is being done on behalf of the state is being run past the policymakers for the state, in this case, the commission. We believe this is a good bill. It was improved greatly by the participation of the DLCD staff in working on the amendments to it. It came out of the House 41-15. We think it's a necessary and essential step to make the land use system work a little bit better. We urge your approval of sending to the floor and due pass, and I'll take any questions you might have.
Questions from the
Most times these arise out of a specific case, and you know, I realize that you're here instead of Mr. Honeycutt, but you know of a specific case that where the feeling was that the DLCD director intervened in a case inappropriately, which should have been reviewed by the commission. And then the other half, that is, that it says requires testimony to be limited to certain factors adopted by LCGC in the rule. Was there something that went beyond?
Mr. Chair, from the recording, thank you for the second. Let me answer the second part first. I'm going to address that in my remarks in chief. DLCD has a set of factors that they use already. They're not codified per se. They exist on an internal memoranda. What this bill will do is have them put those in rule form, so there'll be debate at the commission when they adopt those factors, and then everybody involved in the process will know. Here are the seven factors that the commission will use to determine whether or not an appeal should lie. And that's why that language is in there, to make that process clear. There is a distinction, and I'll let, again, I won't speak for ODOT, there's a difference in the bill between the treatment of the LCD and ODOT, that's one of them. The LCD wanted a slightly different process than ODOT wanted at the commission level. The LCDC is a little more comfortable with the rulemaking process than the OTC is. Although some of the bills go through OTC, we'll get more comfortable with it, I suspect, before time is out. With regard to the first part of your question, I can answer that somewhat. I don't know what Mr. Honeycutt's motivation was. We've had continuing problems, and there are people represented for the agencies here, so let me say up front that I've been very appreciative of the efforts of Mr. Rindy and Mr. Green, ODOT, to address the problems when they come up. With regard to the ODOT, Governor Kitzhaber a few years ago told them that there'll be a growth management agency, but kind of forgot to fill in the blanks about what that might mean. And there have been a few disconnects over the years. One in particular is where ODOT they talked about filing an appeal, we got turned off, but it'll do, I think, answer your question. Other project in the metro area of a high-density residential project around a light rail station, which is where, according to the metro plan and LCDC, that's where the high-density is supposed to go. ODOT was making noise about appealing it because it was too dense, so it put too much burden on the state highway. We thought that was a bit of a disconnect, and we got a fist, but that's the sort of decision prompt nature. We would like to see the commission involved in it, ODOT, to make sure that before the staff runs off, if that had been filed, that would have been a pretty big mess, for want of a better term for it. But and with regard to the LCD, I can relate one instance last year, and Mr. Rindy heard this story a couple hundred times, so I'll apologize in advance. We had hoped to get the commission to intervene in a certain city in Southern Oregon who had adopted an ordinance that we thought wasn't helpful to housing. And the department took a pass on that appeal. At the same time, or about the same time, a case came down from LUBA in which the department had appealed a non-farm dwelling in Hoosier County. They won the case, parenthetically. But the discussions I had with Mr. Menner, and they were cordial, I believe, my point was, A, why weren't you there in Ashland, and B, why on earth are you doing in Hoosier County? And those are the kind of decisions that I think, no disrespect to the staff, I think that those, had the commission been involved, I suspect we might have got different answers on at least one of those, particularly the Hoosier County case. But I think that, in my thinking on that, there's probably not a whole lot that could happen. The land use in Hoosier County doesn't make a difference one way or the other. That's probably the first building permit they've had in 5 years, so it should have given an award. The Dorman case is another out of Deschutes County and Kirk County, about Butte, which is, again, an example that might have come up before the commission for discussion. What we tried very much to do as well is we tried to make sure that we didn't predispose the outcome. And we could, had this bill been in effect over the last 2 years, have the exact same appeal pattern. But at the very least, we felt like it would be important to get the commission engaged on a more direct basis.
John, let me ask, does House Bill 2484 and, you know, this is a deal with the Dorman case in Deschutes County, is help to solve that issue at all?
Mr. Chairman, it does not.
Okay.
Had it been in place, it would have been provided a way for, as a crooked Deschutes County, I'm not sure where what side of the line the Dorman has lived on, they could have, under this bill, gone to the commission and had a conversation with them about whether or not to file the appeal.
Okay.
The bill itself, we tried, it was tempting, frankly, to try to fix a few problems along with the neighborhood, but we tried very hard to simply do a procedural fix that didn't have any particular application to a case on the ground, but to set up a process to hopefully avoid problems in the future.
Okay. Question of resources.
What did the minority report do over there that they tried to talk?
The minority report ended up not being brought up on the floor of the House, and what it did essentially was to graft the whole other bill onto the end of this bill. It was a bill that never received any public hearing or anything like that, and I think that that was the reason that it was put in there. It was essentially grafted another section on that dealt with county. Where are we here? I'm trying to crunch
it up. That's okay, actually. It was
a strange thing to do.
Okay. It was the most intriguing minority report I've ever seen, Senator Corcoran, because it didn't change the bill in chief. It simply attached a paragraph on
it. It was a strange thing to do, and it was done by Democrats?
Well, I
don't know. You have more.
Again, I was shocked and appalled.
We want to be a nonpartisan.
Anything further of these folks? Susan John, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Morgan. Appreciate that. We're going to recess for just a brief moment on 2484. The purpose of hearing the next bill, it's a very short bill. If you folks want to stay, it's fine. It's not in the liquid. Morgan, I understand. But
I'm missing a scintillating natural resources.
Oh, my word. You better go ahead. Yeah. Go forth.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, yes, there are, and this bill seems to correspond well with keeping within those time frames. I just think that this will go a long ways at solving some of these problems before they happen. I mean, I don't know if there'll be less suits filed or whatever, but I think the miscommunications that do occur will be less because of this bill, because if we would even have communicated with the director, I think in our case, this lawsuit wouldn't have been filed in the first place. So I think it's a good thing, and it's a very good thing for the commission level as well, because I think these public policy makers need to be involved with that level people to understand where their staff is directing the agencies to go.
But in the case of the ODA case that you brought up, it was the director, not the commission, that put the kibosh on the appeal.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, that is correct, and I think in some cases the directors in the larger agencies such as ODOT, I don't know how much day-to-day dealings they can have, because it's a very large agency with multiple aspects, and I'm sure even the assistant director has a large difficulty of trying to keep up on and relies on staff for them to have input into the process. If, in fact, even at the director level, I think we could respond to a lot of these things. And I think John Chandler had reflected about the agency rule writing and some other things that will probably formalize this process and probably help the communication factor. And I think that's where a lot of problems come from, is communications.
Sir George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very gentlemen, we had because of ODOT's new involvement in the land use planning arena, we had several cases that came up, and when we brought them before the commission chair or something like that, they seemed almost shocked at how it had proceeded and seemed to be taking more of an involvement in what the agency was doing in relationship to some of these decisions. And I think this would be just a really nice push to say you really should be monitoring these activities. In fact, you will make a decision on this thing. I was looking at the letter that was received and a little bit of hesitancy on the part of them, but at the same time, I think they recognize that their involvement in this can have major consequences. A lot of dollars get spent litigating this kind of thing, and it seems to be disrupting the land use planning part. In other words, you assume that everything's in order, like you folks are ready to move on a project, all of a sudden a brand new problem comes along that you haven't dealt with. It would be nice to have the commission directly involved in that. If they're setting the policy and making a fundamental decision, they need to know.
Senator George, Chairman Turner, I couldn't agree more. I think it's just a good factor to get all folks trying to work on the same page.
Any further, Mr. Schmidt? Sure, thank you. Mr. Schmidt. John, are you here for Mr. Wendy?
Okay.
Chair Tarno, members of the committee, my name is Art Slack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. and I want to thank you for the opportunity to express our support for Ann Gross, House Bill 2484. We believe the House Bill 2484 will go a long way to strengthen the relationship between local government and the state in land use planning and transportation by requiring LCDC and the Transportation Commission to review potential appeals of local land use matters and to ratify those based on their review to determine whether there's issues of statewide significance involved. We think that that is a very positive step. And as some of you know, the Association of Oregon Counties has sponsored in the past bills to take the LCD out of the appeals process because we had the feeling that they were at sometimes going a little bit too far in appealing little individual decisions based on their earlier review, not only in the development of the comprehensive plan, but also the implementing ordinances. So we believe this is a very reasonable, responsible step, and we would urge your support of House Bill 2484.
Question, Mr. Schloss?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Vaughn, Ebert?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ron Eber for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Mr. Rindy asked me to come up and simply indicate our accord with the agreement that was reached on this bill. I was not involved in the discussions. I have been involved extensively in the appeals process over the years, so I could answer those kinds of questions. But otherwise, the bill as it has come to you, we are in accord with the agreement that was reached.
Questions of Mr. Eber? Thank you very much. Andy?
Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Randy Tucker with 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Charlie Swindell of our staff was prepared to testify today, but there's an in-car pileup on the highway, and he wasn't able to get here. So he's back. Fact is testimony to me, so I can...
You know, Mr. Chair, never mind.
On the other side of the highway, I don't know, but... so I get the opportunity to oppose this bill today. I'm just going to go through Charlie's testimony mainly. First of all, land use appeals are a necessary means for the state agencies to carry out their statutory missions. We don't believe that appeals are necessarily a bad thing. This is the way the state agencies enforce the law in our state. And so it's sometimes necessary for them to appeal local decisions, and they're charged by the legislature with this responsibility. But they don't write the land use, the local land use ordinances, issue development permits. And so when they believe that permits have been issued or ordinances have been written that violate state law, the only way for them to intervene is by appealing those decisions. And it's important to note that a development permit that is contrary to state law is permanently insulated from legal challenge unless it is appealed under very short, very strict deadlines. Local land use or transportation ordinances that are contrary to state law must likewise be appealed immediately. Subsequent permits often cannot be challenged as inconsistent with state law as long as they comply with the flawed local ordinance. So the agencies are the appropriate parties and, as a practical matter, sometimes the only parties which can conduct the analysis of these proposed ordinances and seek review of potentially unlawful permits of that are out of compliance with state law. I guess our main concern here is that this is a bill that is attempting to solve a problem that does not exist. Of all the cases that were decided by LUBA between January and November of 1998, DLCD and ODOT were parties in only 10 appeals that were pursued to completion. In two of these appeals, both agencies were parties to the same appeal, and in three cases, one or both of the agencies intervened in the appeal on the side of the local government. So given the small fraction of potentially unlawful decisions that are actually appealed by DLCD and ODOT, it's safe to assume that the agencies pursue only the most serious decisions or those with the greatest regional impact. And so we believe that to make it more difficult for that to occur is undermines this important agency's function. It's also unclear why the proponents of this bill would curtail these appeals or would limit these appeals when these agencies are required to apprise the local government of the, in detail of their concerns and potential issues for appeal during the local hearings themselves. So the idea that there can be surprises at the appeal level is not correct because you may not raise the issues on appeal unless you raise them at the local level. Also, like any party, the agency is liable for opposing attorney's fees if they pursue an unfounded appeal. And so the idea that there's constant surprises at the appeals level, we believe, is unfounded. I might also want to note that in the appeals process that has been created by, that would be created by this bill, 2484, this is not in Charlie's testimony, the only people that are allowed to appear at the commission hearing where the decision is being made as to whether to approve the appeal are the director, the applicant, and the affected local government. But other citizens may not intervene at that point and testify for or against the agency going forward with the appeal. Also, I want to note that this came out in the House hearings that at least, as I recall, Mr. Rindy testifying, the Department of Land Conservation and Development routinely apprises its commission of every appeal that they plan to pursue. And so, you know, again, this is a problem that doesn't exist. The commission is very aware, and any citizen, including a frustrated applicant or applicant who's had an appeal or a permit denied at the local level, may appear at a commission hearing for any reason and offer their concerns. So just to summarize, and one last thing. By creating another hearing process, we basically take this appeals process and make it a more political process and create an opportunity for more political pressure on the commissioners in a case where we believe it's just not necessary. So we believe it's important to maintain the ability of the agencies to move forward with these appeals. And while we believe that the concerns of the proponents of this bill are basically being met right now under existing procedures.
Andy, you know, we're using mediation a lot more than we used to in days gone past. We're creating ombudsmans to act as go-betweens between individuals and state governments. And from my perspective, we're just adding another step, which may take some of the pressure off of LULA. And it may also involve the commissions of both LCDC and ODOT. And I kind of tend to like that idea or that concept. I would be very curious to see how often we use it over a period of time, but that's my thoughts. And I heard you say that it's a problem that doesn't exist. Well, if it's a problem that doesn't exist, then maybe you folks shouldn't be opposing up the bill.
Well, I mean, I guess as a general rule, we're usually skeptical of bills.
I know you're
when there's not a, when there's it's not all bills, but bills that attempt to address a problem that when we don't see the problem, because changing statutes can often have unintended consequences. And so, you know, one of the possible unintended consequences in this bill would be further politicization of the process of moving forward with agency appeals. And also, and also the possibility that people will be left out of the decisions on whether to move forward because of the way this bill is written. That of course, could be.
As I said, the bill doesn't stop the legal process from going forward. It's just putting more folks into the discussion aspect of this.
Right. And our view is that they're already in that discussion. So this is not a disastrous bill. We just oppose it on principle because we think it's unnecessary.
Okay.
Could you describe this as just another layer of Republican bureaucracy?
Well, I guess I won't rise to that bait, but I guess our concern is that agency appeals are being portrayed as being a problem in the land use arena, and yet they're the only way, I mean, the goal of agency appeals is to enforce state law. And when they're frivolous, then, you know, the agency will have to pay the price by paying the attorney's fees to the other side. I think that, you know, it's a necessary part of their function, and to attempt to limit it, we just believe is inappropriate.
In my opinion, I think that it'll give us a year and a half, maybe, to watch this thing and see how it does impact the agency, and I'm sure if it does, we'll be here in court. Anything here for the session? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the court adjourning on House Bill 2484 and go into work session on House Bill 2484. Senator Corcoran?
2484 to the floor with the D-Pass.
Senator Corcoran moves House Bill 2484 with the D-Pass recommendation. Objections? Discussions? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Chair, I have Bill 2044 passes for the special condition. The chair will carry. Close the public work section on 244 on May, or we're adjourned for the
All right.